This internet radio show or podcast is number 173 in the series for Franklin Matters. This recording shares the candidate interview with current town councilor Melanie Hamblin, which was conducted in the studios of Franklin TV and Radio. This is thereby a product of the collaboration that is now underway with our local cable and radio operations. We reviewed several questions, some of which were crowdsourced. Some of you may remember the call for input we solicited in August 2019 in the run-up for this election. I thank you for your contributions. Hopefully, the information provided here and in the other candidate interviews will enable a good choice among the candidates for each position. Let's listen to the conversation on these questions with Melanie. The recording runs approximately 24 minutes.
This is Steve Sherlock recording for Franklin Matters in the Franklin Radio and TV studios today with current town councilor Melanie Hamblin. Thank you for meeting with us today. We've got a few questions we can go through so that you as a candidate for re-election to the town council, we can share that info with the voters and residents so that when people come out to vote on November 5th, they'll be prepared to make a good decision.
Well, you know, thank you for doing this for everybody. I think this is a great service that you provide for people, and you do it because you just love the town. And it's really great to be in the studio here. It's Franklin TV Radio is just an amazing place. Lots of fun things happen here. And I look forward to hopefully answering some of your questions. I do apologize for having a cold right now. So if I cough or sneeze, I'm sorry about that.
And we'll try to edit those out as we talked about how to bucket those.
Yeah, hopefully we can. It won't like blow everybody's eardrums out.
No. Indeed. Yeah. All right. So first question to try and get some of your background to share and kind of in a different way. There are and have been many opportunities to volunteer with various community groups in Franklin. Have you taken advantage of any of those? And if so, which ones and how did you choose them?
Okay, well, you know, being a town council is a really big volunteer job.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of like, that's for everyone. But I have volunteered this year for the Student Wellness Advisory Committee. And that's at the high school. And what I did there was a lot of the different principals and the teachers, they wanted to know more about gardening, what they could do to get their kids involved in growing food and flowers, you know, and also how to kind of rethink some of the landscape in the areas around the schools to make it more pleasant to actually be out in recess areas. And how to make it safer for kids to be there and also a nicer experience for them. So I worked with I met with a lot of the different principals in town and a lot of the teachers to help them. I do a lot of volunteer for the Downtown Partnership and the beautification in the downtown area when we put in the plants and the greens for all of around the bridges and all that sort of stuff. And then I always, whenever the food pantry or the Safe Coalition needs me, I'm always there for whatever they need.
Simple question.
Uh-oh.
Where do you get your news about Franklin? And that's not a lead. It's meant to be in find out where you get your news.
Where I get my news?
Yeah.
Okay, so I get my news from you, from Franklin Matters. I also Wicked Local, the paper, online through the website, the town website. Right. I get my news, and also just being out and about, and I talk to a lot of people. A lot of people tell me what's going on.
So word of mouth.
Word of mouth, yeah.
Still one of the keys.
Definitely, and I think it's more spontaneous that way. Like, you really know what's going to happen and how people feel about certain things.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how I like to find out about what issues affect people and how they feel about things that are going on in town.
Yeah, especially current events, because those will be kind of literally top of mind. And you'll right. say, hey, what's going on?
Right. I'll go out somewhere, and then Neil will be like, gee, you were gone a kind of a long time. And I'll be like, well, I bumped into this person, and we talked about this. And it's I think that's part of being the community, part of the community that I really enjoy.
Yes.
And, you know, being here in town all the time, and that's, I get to do that. Mm-hmm. And I feel really lucky that I can do that.
Right. All right. For those running for town councils, you know, this is one of the pieces that I'll edit out.
Okay.
It's like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm asking you because you are running for town council.
Well, you can still say it, because then I'll be like, what, I'm running for town council again? How did I do that? Like, did somebody, like, hypnotize me?
Did it wake up? This is a dream? and again, this is one of those crowdsourced. So they're one of the members of the community submitted this question.
Okay.
So
right.
I have to kind of wrap that around, because I also got comment back from somebody who's like, you know why we're in this? I said, I know, but somebody else doesn't. This is why we're talking about it.
Right. Okay.
So the question came in as, we seem to be in a constant water shortage. We're adding to our population, increasing our need for water, given all these who live in Franklin draw their water from the same aquifer. Would you support a ban on using water from what they would call cosmetic use, lawn watering during water shortages, even for those with private wells? And that's really the key. And if not, why not? Considering those with private wells are still dangerously affecting our water level for uses other than, quote, vanity. Or simply put, do you support the private use of wells for lawn irrigation at times when the town's aquifer is dangerously low for use by the community for essential uses in homes and fire prevention? Big, long question, I know.
I kind of split that up into a few different things. The last question... Part of that question was about wells.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we had a severe drought a few years ago,
yep.
right? And this really affected our local food supply. And if you have to choose between lawns and food, I'm going to choose the food. But that was during a severe drought. And I would hope that our community would choose the same thing. If they knew what it made a difference to our farmers than it does to their lawn.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this opens up a whole new area to actually educate people about what their lawn actually needs. So what I would like to think of this as, how do we conserve water when we have enough of it? And start to think about, what does our lawn really need? And in my mind, I think it would be a fantastic program for the town to do, or for everybody to participate in, would be to maybe put a rain gauge on a sprinkler system so that when it's raining, you're not watering your lawn, that we keep track of how much water your lawn gets in a week. So your lawn only needs an inch a week, right? So that if you overwater it, then you're encouraging weeds. Then you're draining you're draining your soil of nutrients, and your lawn is going to grow worse,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be fragile, and it's going to get fungus, and it's going to get all kinds of diseases. So, really, water is really important for our food source, but it's also something that we need to think about how to use it wisely. So we can split this question into many different different categories. But there's also the fact that there are watering bans that we go through, but it's really a conservation thing. And this ban this year set aside, which is different because we don't have a treatment, because we had an electrical fire in our treatment, one of our treatment tanks. Really, it's to conserve water. And to get people to think about why they're using the water, right? I mean, we're lucky we're in New England and we have a lot of water around us.
Correct.
But we actually have enough water, but we might not tomorrow if we don't conserve it today.
Yeah, because we're totally aquifer-fed community. We have no other water source than the aquifer itself.
That's right. That's right. And we're near the, and our wells are near the, our surface wells. Mm-hmm. And really, we can only pull out what the out of every well what the state allows us to pull out, because there are regulations that we have to follow. And that's, I think people get confused about that. They think we just don't have the water, but it's really, it's really a limit from the state.
Right, pumping capacity.
Yeah.
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 Right. And I, one of the town council meetings when our DPW director, Bruce Cantareggi, presented on the water status, there was a question that answered specifically why we have the restrictions. I took that separately as a recorded piece with his presentation so that people can get that.
Right.
Because
right.
that's an answer that needs to get out there on a regular basis.
Definitely, definitely. And they, in the, I feel like the water department does such a good job at at presenting the information. It would be really nice if more people paid attention to it and or listened to it. It's really interesting. Like, I didn't know that until I sat in the town council meetings before I was on the town council and actually listened to one of those presentations. And there's a lot of really important information that comes through those meetings.
Right.
But I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
I really do, because I feel like the town, all the town fields have water gauges. They have moisture gauges so that we know when we need to water versus when we... instead of just setting it for, you know, like every 3 days or something like that. So it's very so the town has been very thoughtful in how they do keep track of the water that's used and how we water our fields and our grasses and around town. And now we just need to bring that to the public and other people around us.
Yeah, share the best practices so that they can incorporate them as well.
Right, and then that's, you just think about it more that way.
Right. Related topic somewhat. What degree of development do you feel is appropriate for Franklin, and how would you balance the need for affordable housing with the need to avoid congestion?
Personally, I love open space, right? So, but there's like, I guess it's kind of like, we can't tell people what to do with their property. And if they're within a zone that allows a certain kind of building, then they're by right, they can do that. So it's kind of, I think, so let's split this into a couple of different things, right? The affordable housing. I think really we need to make sure that everything that's built the going forward has an affordable housing aspect to it, so that we don't go below that, that evil 10% line, right? So that we I think we need to make it so that we want people of all, we want a diverse community, so we want to have other people to be able to afford to live here, right? Because it's a pretty cool place to live.
Sure.
But so it's really difficult to be able to answer this question with what we have before us, right? We have, do we change all of the zones so that nobody can build, or do we? You know, it's really hard to regulate things like that, because a lot of the zoning changes come through the state as well. So what we can do as a town gets regulated by the state on like subdivisions, and it does get congested, but that's because it's a great place to live. Everybody wants to come here and live here because there's a lot of services.
And I think the real issue is people think, well, Franklin's going to build this. Franklin's building
it's
this.
Not
it's not Franklin building it. Franklin, certainly, to your point, has set the zoning requirements, but it's the property owners.
It's a property owner.
Who may or may not be Franklin residents, but certainly working with the developers who also may or may not be Franklin residents that are doing the building.
Right.
So.
Right. It's a, that's a pretty tough one. It's not that what you said, like even on Facebook, there was a, like somebody said, well, you know, if Longhorn goes out, the town's going to come in and take that and build condos, and it, and the town doesn't build anything. The town, it's not the town. It's the individual that owns that property, and they have a right to do with it what they want to do with it within reason.
Right.
Right. It has to fit into all the zones. It has to You know, but if people could, if what they want to do in that property is okay by the zoning that it's in, then there's really nothing we can do about it. As a town official,
right.
Yeah. Right, so that, you know, there could be a grassroots thing that could come up, but it's like we can't legally stop it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Moving on to another question. Town administrator on the budget has suggested that Franklin will need to consider passing on an override measure. What actions would you take around that topic?
So one of the things I think we need to think of as a community is, like, where do we see ourselves and what kind of community do we want to be? And, you know, when we think about how much it costs to run a business or how much, you know, to run the municipality, it costs more than the 2.5% that we can actually raise the taxes. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I think it's really up to the community to decide and if there's an override or not, and what we're willing to keep and what we're willing to lose. So, I mean, I would definitely vote for that question to be put on a ballot for the community to decide.
Correct.
And I think it's such an important question about what kind of services do we want to see? Do we want to keep the services the way they are now? Mm-hmm. Do we want better services? Do we want less? And that's what we're going to have to decide.
Right.
So, yeah. But it's such an important thing. It's really up to the community to decide what their vision for Franklin is.
During discussion around, okay, these are the facts.
Yes.
These are the real numbers. These are the choices.
Yep.
You know, and make it clear and let's have that conversation to the point. What do we want Franklin to be?
Right. You know? I think, you know, people want a lot of different services. There are a lot here in Franklin. That's why people want to live here.
Yes.
And I think people are really proud of that. Mm-hmm. I think we need to, like, why not continue that? Why not be,
right.
Why not be, try to be the best in the area? Why not continue to be a place where people want to come and enjoy
sure.
life?
Yeah.
It's a quality of life thing.
It is.
Right?
It is.
And we want people to be safe. We want our police and our fire department to have the funding that they need, and we want our schools to be top notch, and we want the people who work in this town to be glad to be here and to be well compensated for all the great stuff they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that without the fantastic staff we have in this town, I'm not sure we would be as high on all those lists as if we didn't have them, and I think we should try to keep them here.
Yeah,
right. So one of the things I want to do if I'm elected in the next term is actually to be on the budget committee, subcommittee of the town council. And I want to, I have been attending the joint budget subcommittees to find out what's going on and what the FinCom says and what the mm-hmm. school committee says. So I really think it would help if I would like to be the voice of, to let people know what the facts are. You know, I was in research science for 30 years. You know how my brain works, and I need the facts, right? We just have to sit down with them and say, okay, like, there's no way we can afford these things with this small amount of income.
Mm-hmm. So one kind of final summary question. So if a Franklin voter came up and said, why should I vote for you? Where would you start? I know you got a list.
Well, you know, whenever I hear a question like this, I always think of our former town administrator, Jeff Nutting, who says, like, politicians always like to toot their own horn. And I'm not really a politician. I can't say because I'm, like, really fabulous and everybody. But I will say that I find that I'm a reasonable person. Jeff Nutting also said to me, well, you're reasonable. So I think that was a high compliment, mm-hmm. that I like to think about issues and then find the facts before I make a statement about things. I want to find stuff out. So I'll go and research things. And really, I hope that I bring an openness to the council, and as being a person, I hope that I have made it so that the town council is more approachable, that people can come up to us and talk to us. And really, we're here to represent everyone. And I hope that people can come up and just talk to us, and we can talk about what the issues are, what their day-to-day issues that they deal with. And maybe we can make things easier or better or safer.
That works. It's you. I want to say,
well, you don't have to vote for me. It's okay. Really, I don't have to be on it.
But you want to. You're driven to serve.
I think it's amazing to me. Most, I would say 90% of the time, I'm really excited to be there. I feel like I can help. And that's what I want to do. I just want to help people. I want to give people a voice in the town government and make them feel like people listen. Like we listen. Like I know that you were at the Civics 101 event. And really, I want people to realize that even if you email us and you don't get a response or you don't get the answer that you want, that's still there. And then it gets added into other things. So you might comment about an issue, and then a month later somebody else comments about the same issue. And so then it adds up. Mm-hmm. It's not like it just goes into never land. It's there. We're always thinking about it. Yeah. Like, has anybody else heard about this?
Sure.
So it really makes a difference if you reach out and communicate with us.
Yeah, because I think the other piece, to pick up on one of your points you made, so I'll put it in a plug for Franklin TV, which did record that.
Right.
And Franklin Matters did share the audio as well.
Yeah. And it's on TV right now, too, I think.
Yeah, it's in the cycle of playing. Yeah. So if this gets out in time, you'll be able to catch it as well. And hopefully there'll be a longer replay schedule on that one, because it is, to your point, it was a good information session around how the town does business. And I think one of the points in the stories that you ended up with in your portion was, some things take time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They can't happen immediately most of the time. Sometimes you can turn things around quickly.
Right.
Sometimes things just happen that way. But lots of other things take time.
Yes.
To build that consensus, to get the studies done, to get the pricing, to do the due diligence, to do all that analysis, to come back and make, you know, now you've got pros and cons. This is the decision.
Right.
Do we do it now, or do we do it later, or do we not do it?
Yes.
Right. Those things take time.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, I think between the media and kind of the cultural expectations around a lot of things, people are expecting an instant answer. And instant answers are not always available.
Well, and instant answers aren't always correct.
Yeah.
And
that's another thing.
And that's the problem with them, or they're not thorough enough, or they're not correct, it does become pretty difficult, and people are, but as you say, or as I said, it does take time. It takes time to learn the process, it takes time to get the information, to actually research the information to make sure it's correct information.
Yeah.
Remember, we have to go back and back and back to find this stuff. It is something for people to think about, that if you want good government and thoughtful government, it does sometimes take a little bit of time
to get there.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you for taking your time today to do this. And we'll be able to share this. We'll let people know when it's going to be shared, et cetera. And then remind people to come out and vote November 5th.
Yes, please vote, everyone. You don't have to vote for me. You can just vote.
Just get out.
Get your friends and neighbors and everyone around you. It's really important. I think I think we were finally, I think people are seeing how important it is, local elections, that it really affects your day-to-day life, mm-hmm. your quality of life. What's going to happen in the next 3-4 years is really important for you to come out in November and vote.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? Overall, if you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark in the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.